fight in the church, and not on stupid principles, things that really don't matter, the non-essentials. I don't care what your denomination's called. I don't care, as long as you believe in the essentials of the faith, what type of worship service you have, as long as it glorifies God. I don't care about the non-essentials. But what we need to do is we need to call out the apostates and the antichrists again that are in the church. The most dangerous person in an organization is not the one that is outside the organization. It is the one that infiltrated the organization and is really not part of that group. I don't care if you're a government, if you're some type of social club, whatever group you have, it's the one sitting next to you that claims to be with you that's not, that is the real enemy. I can prepare for the enemy at the gates. It's when they've snuck into the gates is where the danger occurs.
That's right.
Now, I know my Bible, because even the Lord knew when he picked his disciples. Who took Jesus down? Who helped to initiate the downfall to bring him to the cross? Was it Pilate? Was it a Roman? Was it a Greek? Was it someone else in antiquity? It was Judas. The one in his inner circle. His own group. His own blood. A Hebrew just like him. And that's what we're facing in the church. The time for games are over. The lives of my children, your grandchildren are at stake. We have to bring serious messages. It's no longer 6 steps to a great fluffy marriage. 8 steps to put more money in your pocket to be blessed now. 9 steps to biblical eating to shrink your tushy or your stomach. It's time for serious exposition of the Word of God. If we don't do it, we will continue in this downfall. Now, one thing the devil's really good at, he's good at disguising evil. He's good at covering evil. Our Lord exposes evil, even when it looks like it's something holy. Now, many times when I speak, especially in the beginning, you know, you get that look from people. What is he talking about? This doesn't sound right. But that's why we have Scripture. Because the Scripture will back up everything I am saying today. And I'm not the only one, and we are not a special remnant. There are millions of Christians around the world. There are faithful churches from all denominations, even in the worst denominations. You'll have a church where people fear God, and they just want Jesus and the Bible, and not the garbage that the leadership in their denomination is giving. So the point we're at today, the Apostle Paul was writing to a Galatian church that he planted, and he actually tells them, with what you're practicing, I am afraid of you. Afraid. Well, that's not seeker-friendly. Can you imagine a message from a pastor like that? Paul was serious. He was all about Jesus, not all about money, not all about promotion, not all about TV contracts. He was about Jesus. He was about the gospel. And even if it meant insulting somebody or making somebody feel funny, he was willing to do it for the truth. That's what you're called to do as a Christian. You want to make lots of money, smiling, and making everybody happy, and play in the middle? Get into politics. You want to really give witness for the gospel and be a mover and shaker for the kingdom? Stand up for Christ, not for men.
Amen.
So let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue in this place. We pray, dear God, you would seal the doors, that you would shut down all the distractions, that we would be able to hear your word and focus on your word and glorify not ourselves, nor our spouses, nor our family or friends, but glorify your Son who was hung on a tree for us. We pray, dear God, that people would realize they need to be covered by that precious blood or they're lost. We ask this in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 So today we have a situation where this group called ISIS, or now they changed their name, the Islamic State, they're getting a lot of attention. Cutting people's heads off, cutting off the heads of children. This is a serious situation. No one's downplaying it. They surround Christians. They force them to convert. If they don't convert, your wife's going to get raped. Your children will be forced into Islam. You may literally lose your head. Now, we look at this on TV, and we say, this is evil. This is so evil. Taking human life like a demon. Taking human life like that. Cutting heads off. Putting guns to the heads of children. And America is in a dangerous situation when we do that. And so is Europe. And so is Australia. Wherever the gospel has been. Because we become like David. As Nathan's confronting David with his sin. And what did David say? Oh, the man that took that little lamb and did those things. Kill him! And what did Nathan say? You are the man. So our message today for the church, for ourselves, for America, for Europe, for wherever there are Christians, don't get caught up in hypocritical judgment. It's absolutely wrong and evil what they are doing. But I'm telling you, this country since 1973 has killed 60 million babies. Maybe it wasn't on CNN, maybe it wasn't televised. But murder is murder. A dead child is a dead child. So let us not get caught in self-righteousness, which we all love to do. Hey, you know, Father in heaven, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not like that guy. We all love to do that.
Sin is sin.
Sin is sin, amen. Don't get caught up in that. Now, Scripture speaks to this. We are in danger today because the church has become an external religion. All the bells and whistles. The religion that Jesus Christ gave us is supernatural. The Holy Spirit of God actually comes to live inside you. The Holy Spirit of God, in one moment, when that sovereign grace, that divine grace touches your heart, without you even wanting it to happen sometimes, but you're going to be God's chosen vessel, and He's going to save you whether you like it or not. The real boss. And all of a sudden, all this darkness, all these things go away, they dissipate. You change forever. How can that happen? How can a miracle like that happen? Because the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, inside you. We have an internal religion. What did Jesus say? Where does evil come from? Comes from the heart. Maybe I'm not lying. From inside a man. From the inside out. Wickedness on the inside breeds a wicked society, a wicked neighborhood, a wicked organization. We don't worry about all the externals. We once again had a reformation in the 1500s to get away from an external religion. And now Protestants are a bigger whore now. And apostate Baptists are a bigger whore now than the Roman Catholic Church ever was. And now you have this super mega ecumenical whore church teaching doctrines of devils. Oh, Pastor, you're exaggerating. Really am I? Let's read our text. I'm going to read you an article. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 8. 861. Very simple. Paul speaking to this group that now considers him an enemy and is falling away. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. And on the outline I put that word, to be afraid. I gave you right from the concordance what the Greek says, in the King James, the Greek translation of this word. So there's no mistake about it. People like to dance around Scripture. What does it mean, phobeo, to put to flight, to terrify, to frighten? Paul was saying, I fear, I am terrified, I dread. He was blown away. This group that he, with the Lord, helped birth, now hates their spiritual father and is listening to charlatans and false preachers and Judaizers who say it's not enough. We believe like you. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he went into that tomb, he arose from the dead, he is in heaven now, but you need faith plus a little something else to be saved. You've got to be circumcised. Bring him back into ritual. Oh, so I got to believe in the cross of Christ and be circumcised to be saved? Yes. Now what comes after circumcision? You got to follow the dietary laws. Be careful not to eat shrimp, you might go to hell. And then from the dietary laws, all the other points of the law, they were taken out of bondage, and now they're going back to the externals. They're choosing the shadow over the real. Now, I went to art school for 10 years to be able to do this. Well, I did have Marcus here, but I guess my children. So... And this is what we're saying. This is the essence of our faith. Here is a man. I didn't say he was a handsome man. Here is a man. Okay? Or a woman. On the inside, God's concerned with the heart. He regenerates the heart. So on the inside, we have the Lord who comes to live in our heart. It changes us. The heart is the true mechanism of what a man is. If you get the heart, you get everything. You can force someone to do something with a machine gun or with a baseball bat, but when you're not looking, they'll do what they want. God is not like a man. He's all powerful. He doesn't need a machine gun. He doesn't need a baseball bat. He changes your heart that when even you're left alone, you do what he says, what he wants. That's true change.
That's right.
Amen. Outside here, the external religions, we have Islam. We have the apostate Christians. It's on the outside. It doesn't change a man. We have rabbinical Judaism. We have Hinduism. We got the Nazis. We have every ism. Hinduism, humanism, whatever you want. It's on the outside. It cannot change a man. This is false worship. God wants true worship. We don't make peace with these people. We fight them to the death. Now, it's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. We offer up our bodies living sacrifices. If we start fighting them with physical weapons, we're just as bad as they are. I don't know about you. I am not a scientist or a medical doctor, but I've never seen a dead man convert and raise his hand to believe in Jesus. So we don't shoot them, we don't stab them, we don't do these things. Doesn't mean we can't defend ourselves. But we don't take the offensive against them in a physical way. This is the worship that God wants. So before the gospel message was brought to the Galatians in the world, all nations were trapped in gross idolatry. Human sacrifice, infanticide, and female oppression were normal aspects of worship for every society. This is the fruit of godless external religion. Apostate Christianity and Islam are bringing us back into the pre-Reformation dark ages. Now I want to read you something. As Americans are pointing their fingers at ISIS, and rightfully so, they're savages. I want to examine an article. Why Dr. Kermit Gosnell trial should be a front page story. This is an infamous abortion doc. You wouldn't hear it on CNN and these other major outlets. It wasn't a focus for many ministries. Should have been.
Sure, it's sacrifice.
Amen. Let's listen to the story. The grand jury report in the case of Kermit Gosnell, 72, this is from The Atlantic. This is 2013 article, but it applies today, is among the most horrifying I've read. Now, these are not Christians. These are not super conservative. These are people that even if they're pro-choice are appalled at what this guy did. And they all came out to speak against it. And how many pansy Christians sat on their hands and bought another book about how they could have their best life now instead of speaking up for about what happened. This case is about a doctor who killed babies and endangered women. What we mean is that he regularly and illegally delivered live, viable babies in the third trimester of pregnancy and then murdered these newborns by severing their spinal cords with scissors, it states. The medical practice by which he carried out this business was a filthy fraud in which he overdosed his patients with dangerous drugs, spread venereal disease among them with infected instruments, perforated their wombs and bowels, and on at least two occasions caused their deaths. Charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder, Gosnell is now standing trial in a Philadelphia courtroom. An NBC affiliate's coverage includes testimony as grisly as you'd expect. Quote, an unlicensed medical school graduate delivered graphic testimony about the chaos at a Philadelphia clinic where he helped perform late-term abortions, the channel reports. Stephen Massoff described how he snipped the spinal cords of babies, calling it, quote, literally a beheading. You want to point your fingers at ISIS now? You who aren't covered by the blood of Jesus? If you're not in faith, you're going to point fingers? Like we don't have blood on our hands here? It is separating the brain from the body. He testified that at times when women were given medicine to speed up their deliveries, quote, it would rain fetuses. Fetuses and blood all over the place. One former employee described hearing a baby screaming after it was delivered during an abortion procedure. Quote, I can't describe it. It sounded like a little alien, she testified. Said the Philadelphia Inquirer in its coverage, quote, prosecutors have cited the dozens of jars of severed baby feet, something out of your sickest science fiction movie was going on in major city in America and still continuing today. And I have news for you. In the labs and all this genetic testing and engineering, it's even worse because they're not even under the cameras. And we want to point at the Muslims. Dozens of jars of severed baby feet, an example of Gosnell's idiosyncratic and illegal practices of providing abortions for cash to poor women pregnant longer than the 24 cutoff for legal abortion in Pennsylvania. Until Thursday, I wasn't aware of this story. It was a person writing the article. It has generated sparse coverage in the national media. And while it's been mentioned in RSS feeds to which I subscribe, I skip past most news items. I still consume a tremendous amount of journalism. Yet, had I been asked at a trivia night about the identity of Kermit Gosnell, I would have been stumped and helplessly guessed he was a green Muppet. Then I saw Kirsten Powers' USA Today column. She makes a powerful, persuasive case that the Gosnell trial ought to be getting a lot more attention in the national press than it is getting. The media criticism angle interests me, but I agree that the story has been undercovered, and I happen to be a working journalist, so I'll begin by telling the rest of the story for its own sake. Now here's just some of the highlights. It was called the Women's Medical Society. Remember, they take disgusting terms and give them nice names so we don't realize what they are. It's not child murder, it's abortion, right? It's not sodomy, it's not a filthy practice, it's same-sex relationships, see? It's not killing the old people because they're old and useless and we don't want to pay their health benefits. It's euthanasia. Now, this clinic was called the Women's Medical Society. The FBI raided the Women's Medical Society. This was February 18, 2010. Entering its offices about 8:30 p.m., agents expected to find evidence that it was illegally selling prescription drugs. On entering, they quickly realized something else was amiss. And the grand jury reports telling, quote, there was blood on the floor, a stench of urine filled the air, a flea-infested cat was wandering through the facility, and there was cat feces on the stairs. Semi-conscious women scheduled for abortions were moaning in the waiting room or the recovery room, where they sat on dirty recliners covered with blood-stained blankets. All the women had been sedated by unlicensed staff. Authorities had also learned about the patient that died at the facility several months prior. Okay, now, enough of the garbage, but this I want you to hear. When you perform late-term abortions by inducing labor, you get babies. Live, breathing, squirming babies. By 24 weeks, most babies born prematurely will survive if they receive appropriate medical care. But that was not what the Women's Medical Society was about. Gosnell had a simple solution for the unwanted babies he delivered. He killed them. He didn't call it that. He called it, quote, ensuring fetal demise. The way he ensured fetal demise was by sticking scissors into the back of the baby's neck and cutting the spinal cord. He called it snipping. Over the years, there were hundreds of snippings. Sometimes, if Gosnell was unavailable, the snipping was done by one of his fake doctors or even by one of the administrative staff. But all the employees of the Women's Medical Society knew everyone there acted as if it wasn't murder at all. Most of these acts cannot be prosecuted because Gosnell destroyed the files. Among the relatively few cases that could be specifically documented, one was baby boy A. His 17-year-old mother was almost 30 weeks pregnant, 7.5 months when labor was induced. An employee estimated his birth weight as approaching 6 pounds. He was breathing and moving when Gosnell severed his spine and put the body in a plastic shoebox for disposal. The doctor joked that this baby was so big he could walk me to the bus stop. And we want to play church and pray for money and for cars and for help. We have blood on our hands in this country. And guaranteed this Gosnell character was baptized in a church somewhere at some age and came from some type of Christian background. And we want to point fingers at everyone else. It's not about numbers. Not everyone is meant to be a Christian. Don't get them in with the bells and whistles. They're going to be miserable anyway. If you get them in with the circus, every week has to be a circus to keep them entertained. So tell me how this is different. At least ISIS comes with the guns. You fight it out like men, and then they got you in the end. At least they're beheading somebody who had a little bit of life to live. We in America are better. Before they even get to do anything or experience anything, they're gone. 50 million. The apostate church in America and Europe has fallen into the Galatian trap. They have abandoned the true faith, which begins with a new heart, for a dead external religion of ceremony. Let's read Jeremiah. Chapter 31. 582. Well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. There's no message of the gospel really in the Old Testament. They didn't know what to expect. We're New Testament Christians. We shouldn't open the Old Testament. That's why we're not prophets today, because we don't open the Old Testament prophets. You are a prophet or you are a waste to the Lord. You know that? You will be a prophet, everybody, man, woman, and child. When you speak to someone who doesn't believe, you are a prophet. You bring the word. If you chicken out, believe me, God is not happy. You're a waste. You're wasting your time. What does Jeremiah tell us? Is this so hard to understand? Can only Paul explain what's going to happen with the new covenant? Jeremiah, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What's going to be different when Mashiach comes? When Yeshua HaMashiach comes? What's the difference? The religion is no longer on the inside for the few, like the prophets and certain faithful people. For all of us that want to call ourselves Christian, it better be on the inside. Amen. The Israel that was saved had their hearts changed. They didn't need rules and regulations like school children. Their heart told them what to do. And then the New Testament, we are grafted into that group. So why would the Galatians run back to ceremony? And this is what we do. Now, I did a sermon series entitled Christian Abortion Doctors. People tore me up for it. But I showed one of the abortion doctors who was very famous, who was willing to do late-term abortions, was a deacon in a church. His wife sang in the choir. You have another Christian today, claims to be a Baptist. He's a star amongst the liberals. He's one of the only ones left that'll do late-term abortions. He said he didn't do abortions for 20 years, but it's his faith that makes him kill the children now. Because he's come to the realization that he needs to be merciful on the poor that can't feed these kids, that can't handle the responsibility. So therefore, he's actually being merciful by performing abortions. I would just ask him, "Hi, brother, no problem. I just want to know what Bible you're reading. What Bible you read? What Bible are you reading? Or what are you smoking before you read that Bible to come up with that conclusion?" Now, I'm supposed to be polite to him. I'm supposed to be polite. We're supposed to make peace. The Holy Ghost lives in the heart of God's people. God wants true worship, not empty rituals. The Apostle Paul would be just as afraid today of the condition of Americans, Europeans, and Australians who once knew the true gospel. What does Paul tell us in Galatians? Paul tells us very simply, once again, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Is this what America was blessed for? Is this what our forefathers suffered for? Our spiritual forefathers. Doesn't matter what ethnic background you are. The people that came here to escape a godless state church. They wanted to live by the Bible. This is what the Baptist movement was about. We believe in the liberty of men to really come to Christ on their own. We don't need an official church government. That's one of the things that makes a Baptist a Baptist. Not that we just dunk grown people in water. It's all of our doctrine behind that. We don't need a super mega church combined with the government. We wouldn't do what the Roman Catholic Church did. We wouldn't do what the Anglican Church did in England. We don't need a king or a queen, a pope or whoever else telling us how we need to worship. We don't want men to be thrown in jail because they don't show up on Sunday. Or women to be put in the stockades because they don't behave a certain way as a Christian. We want the Holy Spirit to convict them.
Amen.
That's what Baptist tradition is.
Yes.
That's what made the Baptist different. We believe that every man has to come upon his own will, his own volition, to the Lord. We don't force people into it. And you say, okay, wait a minute. Doesn't God, look at the Anglican Church in England. Look at the buildings. Look at the ceremony that they have. Doesn't God appreciate any of that worship? In the services they say, God, 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 God. Come on, look at the Vatican. Look at the Holy Papa, the Holy Father. Doesn't God appreciate that? Hey, he cooks for himself. Like I said, who in New York doesn't cook for themselves? Come on, he cooks for himself.
He cries when he looks at that.
Amen. So here we have all these monstrous churches, and what do Protestants go and do? You break away from that trash, and now we have our own celebrity, super-duper apostles. They rip open their shirt, they got an S on their chest with an A underneath, the super apostles. We're copying the same thing, an empty faith. A faith built on fluff and flash. That's all it is. It's all a game. It's like a guy, a lot of times in the gym you would see this. When I used to study boxing, you'd have the guys that came in with the most money. They had the best boxing shorts, the best shoes. They had the best mouthpiece. They had the hair combed and everything. And then as soon as it came to sparring, boom! And all of a sudden, whoa, I didn't come here for that. What'd you come here for? As the guy with the jogging shorts on and the sneakers that are falling apart is beating the daylights out of them. You know who you are when the fight comes to you. You can't fake it. There's no faking it. And that's what Christians are doing. It's all this flash, all this fake training, and then when we need to stand up against abortion, against euthanasia, against these different things, we sit on our hands, we get afraid. That's not to be. We're suffering with an external religion. What did Isaiah say to the people? Isaiah chapter 1. One Bible, old and new. I can make my point from the Old Testament. When Jesus was discussing the Word, the prophets, the writings, what was he opening to? The Gospel of Mark? When he was speaking to the disciples? When Paul was speaking to the churches and telling them, hey, you know, let's discuss the Scriptures. What was he opening to his own book, Corinthians? The Bible is one book. What does Isaiah tell us? Way before the headaches we have now, he warned us. This is a warning to all God's people. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. This is what he calls God's people. Is that seeker friendly? Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. But God is love. He can't hate anything. He's the bumper sticker on my car. It says God is love. That's what he is. How can this be? They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is what Christianity brings. From the inside, external changes. This is the difference between what we have and other religions. This country and this culture is so spoiled. Men have taken their liberty to live like pimps instead of like men that instruct their family in the Word of God and standing up like men and even putting your body on top of that fire, taking the sword in your stomach for something that you believe in, that you know is true, defending your family. You're a pimp now. We went from men that carried swords and shields to hair gel and manicured nails and worrying about what clothes we wear to church. It's a joke. And the same thing with the ladies. You've taken your Christian liberty, which gave you more power, more freedom, to speak, to give witness of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mouth is not sealed like in Islam or Rabbinical Judaism, Orthodox Judaism. You have the same opportunities, but what did you use it for? To be a high-priced call girl. That's what many people are in this country. That's what our culture have turned them into. A woman's adornments used to judge her on her meekness, her humility, her knowledge in the Word. Now, if she doesn't have a 12-inch waist and a 40-inch chest and everything else, and looks like she's 25 until she's 65, she's not worth anything. Tell me I'm wrong, ladies. The whole message sent by this society to you is you only find worth in how you physically look. A man used to get into an elevator. If there was a lady on, he'd take his hat off. If a lady used to come into a room and there were men sitting there, they'd stand up from their seats and take their hats off. Now, all they do is dream about, oh, I'd like to get with this one. I'd like to get with that one. Did you see that? Did you see this? That's what we've turned into. Now we have relations with women, we don't even marry them. And now because of guys like Kermit Gosnell that will gladly help us out, we have some inconvenient kids. Be a good Muslim. Cut their heads off. Please turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Jesus says something very significant here. And he draws from something. Oh, golly gee, the Old Testament. Jesus speaks about hypocritical religion. Verses 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They're from Brooklyn, they just grab the food and they don't wash. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. I'll go a little further. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Get rid of the external religion, especially in Christianity. It makes us hypocrites. It makes us look at the blood on everyone else's hands, but not address the blood on our hands. Do you think this Islamic State, these Muslims right now, that are killing many of our brothers and sisters in these lands, you think God doesn't take notice? You don't think he's going to use the rulers of evil the way he needs to? Did he not use Nebuchadnezzar to smash Israel when they were unfaithful? Was Nebuchadnezzar himself, his own kingdom, not taken away by another group and so on and so forth? Did he not use Alexander the Great to conquer the world, to bring a universal language, the Koine Greek, so that the gospel could be spread, and then smash them with the Romans? Did God not bring the Romans in his divine sovereignty, according to his will and his plan, to build the Roman roads? To spread the gospel? And then when it was their time, he smashed them?
Amen.
It's going to happen. And let me tell you, the only thing the Islamic State is setting themselves up for again, as we say in the neighborhood, a good beat down. Because one thing Rome will do, even to this day, when you start hitting Catholic churches, they will come for you. And then you'll find out that the Holy Father is really the not-so-Holy Father, and he will take care of that problem. And I'm telling you now, before you hear it in the news, there will be strikes in the Middle East. We will get re-involved. God will have evil smash evil like a round robin. It's going to happen. Trust me. They're showing these things on TV and the clippings of the beheadings and the suffering people to bring up our sentiment. So we say, yeah, get them. And it's going to happen. George Bush said, we're on a crusade. They made him take it back. Communism fell in Poland. All your college professors tell you, well, there's a separation of church and state now. The Roman Catholic Church has really been compromised. Ronald Reagan was featured in Time magazine sitting next to the Holy Father about how they brought down communism in Poland together. So it's coming. External religion will smash external religion. It's going to happen. So we don't need to worry about these political problems. We need to worry about what we have to do as Christians. Speak up where you are. Don't let the Apostle Paul, with our church, have said, you know, I'm afraid of Fellowship Baptist Church. They were supposed to have known the Bible. Look at what they teach there. Look at what they talk about. Everything is a seminar on self-help. What happened to learning the Word and understanding how to apply it? And that's what we're doing today. So who is beheading the children? Apostate Christians and Muslims. Now, this organization is an organization, Planned Parenthood. Look at it with some of their board members. They have prayers designed and counseling for people before they kill their kids. So they're encouraged in killing their kids. One of the chair of the committee, Rabbi John Adlin, Reformed Jewish denomination, Canton, Ohio. Vice chair, oh, this is unchristian, right? I'm not supposed to name names. Even though Paul said, I handed over Alexander Hymenaeus to Satan, that they might learn their lesson. So I'm going to name names. Vice chair, the Reverend Susan Russell, All Saints Episcopal Church. Don't you want to walk into that church for worship? The Reverend David A. Ames, Episcopal. Reverend Tom Davis from our own Saratoga Springs, New York, United Church of Christ. The Reverend Dr. Gawain F. DeLue, White Plains, New York, Episcopal. The Reverend Vincent Lucina. Oh, my own. And what's he doing? Well, he's with the American Baptists. So that's what you do. You leave the Roman Catholic Church and then you bash the Catholics to become even more godless and stand up for Planned Parenthood. That's what a hypocrite does. Be careful who you hate and who you judge. The Reverend Jeremy Lopez, Salem United Church, United Church of Christ. Reverend Janet Makis, Christian Church, DOC. And I love this stuff because, you know, like all those rumors, well, if you just had women leading and leading in the world, things would be so much more peaceful. Ladies, do I got to tell you that's not true? Rabbi Dennis Ross, Concerned Clergy for Choice. And it goes on and on and on. Bunch of characters. First Unitarian Church of Dallas, Reverend Daniel Cantor. The Reverend Kevin Jones, Baptist. We have everybody. Ani Zanavel, the Muslim for Progressive Values. In other words, that's code speak for Muslims for Murder. So this is what we're dealing with today. We have people with religious titles that are pushing this agenda. They love death. What did our brother read to us from the book of Proverbs? It's a simple choice. You follow the Lord, you have life. You follow the world, you have death. That's it. God also says in Proverbs, those who hate me wrongeth their own soul. You're going to kill yourself. That's how God confounds the wise. God doesn't need machine guns. He doesn't need bombs. He takes the most powerful ethnic group at one time, and I'm not being prejudiced. I am of European descent. But he's taking our group that had the gospel and had all these blessings through it, and now we're turning our back on him, and he's turning our back on us. Read the demographics. Gaddafi was right. Muslims don't have to do anything but to continue to have children and let their children live. And in 20 years, we are finished. So all those who hate the Lord love death. Now, is this anything new, these decapitations? People don't know history anymore. That's why I try and bring it out. It's so terrible. It was so fearful. Did anyone ever hear the French Revolution? Were those Arabs who carried that out? Tens of thousands of people beheaded by the guillotine, invented by the French. You know what happened in that country? As bad as the Catholic Church might have been at times in that country and opposing the king, you take on humanism. Instead of reforming the way other nations did, the French said, we don't want God in any way. And that's what happens when you let humanism run wild. I don't care if it's an apostate Christian, a Muslim, whoever, whatever religious group it is. When you become apostate and you throw off God, anything goes, and you eventually become as vicious as your heart. And the heads roll in the streets. And don't think it won't come here. That's why we speak now, while we still have a voice. Don't think it can't come here. So So this is always something that's been done. Among Western countries, court-sanctioned beheadings continued well into the 20th century. France called their guillotine, it was called the National Razor, killing tens of thousands. Now, all the way back to the beginning of Islam, one of their original fights with a Jewish tribe, they beheaded between 600 and 900 people. So this is nothing new. Beheading is nothing new. It's an instrument of terror, and it doesn't matter who does it. So let's not get caught up in being holier than thou and pointing the finger at everyone else before we point the finger at ourselves. Russia made a statement. Let the United States fix its own problems before it looks to fix our problems. Now, I am no fan of Mr. KGB, Vladimir Putin. We know what he's about. Anyone who knows history, we know what he's about. Again, the external religion. Look at Putin. He's building the Orthodox Church. He's building this. He's building that. I look at his heart. So we're not fooled by that. But remember, evil corrects evil. He was correct in what he was saying. And that's our message for the church. Before you worry about others, straighten out your own house. The fight is not with the Muslims. The fight is not with the homosexuals. Our fight is not with the evolutionists or these other groups. Get them out of the church first. Then you worry about what's on the outside. So let's abandon the external religion. Let's really have a faith that makes us as brave as our Lord Jesus Christ, the holy apostles, and everyone else, all the saints throughout history. And let's stop with all the childishness and the bells and whistles. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we pray, dear God, that we glorify you today, that we didn't glorify ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you give us a spirit of wisdom, that we have discernment, that we can look at the times, and we can have discernment through your word about what's needed at this time. We pray, dear God, that you would strengthen your church. We pray, Lord, for the millions, hundreds of millions of Christians that are around the world that do suffer for your name. We pray, dear God, that we would stop judging each other on the non-essentials and unite on the essentials, that we can fight the devil, the world, and the flesh together. We pray, dear God, for all those churches on this day that are worshiping in spirit and in truth, that you would bless them. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to keep us from the worst type of judgment in our nation until we have a true reformation and a revival. We thank you in the name of your Son, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.